Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, everyone? This is the Go Long Podcast coming at you live at Hamper Brewing Company. Sitting down here. Good to see you, Jim.
It's just different. It's just different when we're here.
It is.
The energy. We have a whole new energy to our whole pod. Like, we're ready to attack things. The beer. We're Louis deep already.
Yep.
It tastes better when we're here and we're pulling them out of our fridge at home. Which you have to do. I mean, yeah, you have to do it at home. It's fine. But, man, there's something about just getting that fresh draft.
Especially, like, this is, like, the first day and yesterday here in Western New York where we really got dumped on with snow. It's frigid out. You know, when you go to a brewery and you crack open a beer or they pour you a beer, there's something just kind of primitive about it.
It works.
It feels like you're in the wild.
I'm
just kind of surviving, drinking some beer to get by and warm. Get the blood going
on a lunchtime. It's nice and warm. We just had a great sandwich. It's a great beef on weck at Hamburg.
Definitely. And I know we weren't able
I don't feel
to
like
do...
I'm roughing it right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of roughing. I'm kind of letting the beard go, letting myself go to an extent.
You have a lot going on. You got a lot of, that's the writer in you. You're sinking yourself into a character like a great actor does. Like you're sunk in right now on just developing a novel.
Yeah, I haven't really talked about it.
No.
When I know that I can talk about it, yeah, we'll fill everybody in, but I'm working on a book and it's been very, very busy, but very insightful and a lot of fun and learning a lot. And I can't wait to share the news. So
yeah, you got some good info already from what you've shared with me. So
yeah,
which are
who knows, maybe we'll get a few Louis in us and we'll get
it'll come out at some point. It all does.
So, Jim, you know, this is we're over 100 episodes.
So, yeah, this is unbelievable.
You're at it.
We didn't get fired.
I didn't fire ourselves.
That's why I love working for you. I mean, we reach out. You know, we started this together. And, you know,
tis the season for firing. So, too, you better watch it.
I mean,
you better bring it this episode.
You know, this is about the time when, you know, Terry and Kim Pegula were asking us, you know, let's get the coaching candidates together, and McDermott came to mind, and you know, he did fire us. So I was a little like, wow, is Tyler gonna fire me? I'm a little gun shy. I mean, I feel like, but no, well, you're not like
I'm not
Sean.
A wrestler.
You're not
a wrestler.
He's cutthroat. Sean's cutthroat.
Yeah,
No, he's a good businessman. He did, like I told you, he's a good businessman.
Yeah, I mean, you broke down what it was like to be fired many a times on
many
this podcast.
Many times. I appreciate you. Hey, that's a pretty cool accomplishment to get that many episodes down. And
yeah, you know, obviously those that listen to the podcast, they know the feed includes some of the interviews I do at Go Long, I'll put on the podcast so people can listen to it. The Isaiah show.
Isaiah's been nice.
The Isaiah McKenzie show has been a lot of fun.
What a nice roller coaster ride for him these last couple months too. Like,
you know, it's really interesting. Part of me gets Sean McDermott's intentions with the benching, because I know I covered the Packers for a number of years, and there were so many moments where, you know, they'd have somebody out there make a big mistake and they didn't have that accountability. And then that would come back to bite the Packers. So, you know, that NFC Championship game in 2014 when Brandon Bostic has the ball bounce off his head, you know, he shouldn't have been out there in that moment. You know, it was his job on that play to block. Jordy Nelson recovers it. They win the game. They go to the Super Bowl. McCarthy let it get to that moment. They didn't have that heavy hand when they should have. But so I think that's what maybe McDermott was trying to do with Isaiah McKenzie. He picked the wrong person. I mean, it was a little ridiculous to, in my opinion. And yeah, obviously I do a show with him, so we're getting a side of Isaiah McKenzie, and hopefully people enjoy seeing what it's really like. But I think he had one fumble on 130 something touches.
He's
a proven weapon for this team.
And the team seems to respect him.
And the team loves him.
As a player.
They love him.
Not just as a guy. Like, yes, they love his personality, but they seem to really respect him. You can just see the way they feed off his energy when he's getting his targets and his catches. And they are a different offense with him. I can promise you this. It'd be fun to ask, like, Leslie Frazier. Like, if you were defending the Bills, how much of a headache when McKenzie's on the field does that become? Because those are the guys you identify. There's certain players that every D coordinator wants to know, you know, William, hey, when they do this, whatever grouping they like to use with him the most, we need to know where he is and what they're doing with him, because he's a game breaker. And, hey, let's face it, Beasley's not. You know, he's not going to break games, I'm saying. Like, so McKenzie's in the game. Now you have Diggs. You have Sanders, you have Davis, McKenzie,
Knox,
who is just
Devin Singletary. Hello,
Singletary. The way he runs the ball is—I haven't seen this, and it's really cool to see. Like, now you know what he is. I always said I never could really define what he was as a runner. I was like, he's just blah to me. Not anymore. He has found his niche as far as he runs hard, he gains extra yards, he's not fumbling.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, it's cool to see. McKenzie add something to the offense,
but it is a little insane to me that
that it had to get be done the way it was.
Well, I mean, the game of the year in Foxborough, I mean, the game that we might look back at that win and say it completely turned the Buffalo Bills season around. This is a game they had to have. They can lock up the division now with a win over the Jets. This is a team that can win the Super Bowl, and who was the hero of Isaiah McKenzie was played out of his mind.
No doubt.
And it was somebody that the head coach tried to make an example out of just a few weeks prior, which
it's tough.
I just feel like, you know, that it's not like Isaiah McKenzie magically became a different player overnight for that game.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the same guy. He did this against Miami.
Go back to Georgia.
But, you know, you saw it in that Miami game last year, and the Bills basically chalked it up as, oh, you know, that was a, you know, we had our backups and whatever. I don't know, Miami had to win a game. They had to win to get into the playoffs. Like
don't just
write that off. I mean, I'm saying McKenzie took that game over. They get into the playoffs. He kind of goes back to the bench. He loves Buffalo. He wants to stay in Buffalo. He takes less money to stay in Buffalo. And he's a decoy all year offensively. And in the return game, he wasn't bad. I mean, if that's not a holding penalty – in Tennessee,
different.
Maybe the narrative changes a little bit.
True.
But he's a decoy offensively all season. They don't really use him. He's just kind of, you know, jet sweeping around, jet motioning around.
Yeah, they do that.
And when they needed him out of necessity because everybody gets COVID, he has the game of his life. And what did you see last week? I mean, it's mostly back to the bench. I mean, Cole Beasley just took his job back.
Just like that.
We'll see how that pans out. I agree with you. I think Isaiah gives you a dimension.
The good thing is it now has become, you know, once the playoffs start, is there's a lot of tape now with how you're going to defend the Bills, because it now it's that adds another weapon. They know Beasley, McKenzie. When these guys are on the field, we have to adjust our defenses to them. And they're becoming a headache again, I think, to defend, like they've been.
I think they're really a headache too because of this running game that has just emerged out of nowhere, well, pretty much.
And Josh is a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Josh Allen is a part of it.
Right. I mean, that's what you're saying. Like Josh, right.
And designed Singletary or not designed. Yeah. It's,
have really, yes, made them.
You have a guy like Deion Dawkins who had some rougher moments early in the year. Now he's just kicking ass out there.
The one thing that we keep talking about, and we've talked about this all year with, and this is why you pay Josh Allen what you paid him. Trey White, haven't skipped a beat. I mean, hard to believe.
I haven't even thought about that injury.
Hard
since
to believe. Like, he's as good as you could want as a corner. Like, he is. He's a rock solid corner.
But, Jim, also, let's look at the schedule.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Fair. Like,
they get into a game with
it?
Mahomes, with right. Burrow.
Now we're going to talk about in the playoffs. What's it matter?
Right. There's going to be teams that are going to start testing those corners. But Sean McDermott is a very good cornerbacks coach. He is. Great cornerbacks coach.
Great.
Good defensive coach.
He's done it.
Offensive coach.
He's confident in – he's – what he is he's a smart roster builder, he and Bean, in the fact that they realize we can survive. If you have the quarterback, you can lose your best corner, you can survive. You know, like if the Chiefs, whoever you consider their best corner, if he goes down, we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
Right? We're so close to the Bills situation.
They hit their corners out there and they get embarrassed by Jamar Chase.
Right.
But it's going to come down to Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about the Bills anyway. It's going to come down to Josh anyway. So,
all right. Well, then.
Let's yeah. So anyway, I know we talk so much about the Josh.
But no. I think that should be the theme of this podcast. I mean, we talked a little bit before about it, but I had a conversation with Kurt Warner recently, Hall of Fame quarterback, and obviously the two parter that we launched go along with was back before we had this relationship.
Yeah.
You were a source. You were an interviewee. Yeah.
You were figuring out why did the league pass on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, which is, it's crazy to think how much has changed in a year, which, you know, when I called you up out of the blue and we talked, and next thing you know, we're grabbing beers at Resurgence talking about it all. But anyways, Kurt Warner, you know, pissed a lot of people off locally in that story with how critical he was of Josh Allen's game. And it's not like he dislikes Josh Allen. Obviously he likes a lot about Josh Allen. And for those who don't subscribe to Go Long, it's a good time to subscribe. GoLongTD.com. We will have the story up next week for subscribers only. Just kind of catching up with Kurt Warner on this all. But back then when we first talked, he didn't believe that style of quarterbacking could last 3-4 playoff wins in a row. That he really was adamant. You need to, from the pocket, make decisions, go through your progressions, take your layups, win that way. And basically I posed the question a year later to Kurt Warner, has anything changed? And I will just leave it there as a cliffhanger.
I like it.
That's, I'm learning in this marketing aspect of the job, Jim. I'm trying to,
it's hard.
Trying to get there.
Well, that's what you do when you break stories and you destroy organizations. The Giants are in shambles. Like you,
hey, part three is going to come out.
I don't know.
It was going to come out today, but we're looking at Saturday morning.
I don't understand how. Giants. I don't know how you can keep coming up with more to destroy, but it's awesome. Couldn't happen. I'm okay with it because you know what? There's plenty of people there. I know there's some good people there that don't work there anymore that are good people and were great at their jobs. They've proven great at their jobs.
I really just feel like we're given this very state-run TV type of message. Mm-hmm. I think and there's a lot of really good beat writers across the country that are digging mm-hmm. and trying to get the truth too. I'm not saying, but with the way the league is now with locker rooms shut down, I mean, you can from a podium project a certain message like the Giants are. I mean, Joe Judge is at the podium just lying. He's saying that the Patriots in 2019 coaches were fearful that they were going to lose. Like, get the hell out of here.
It's
Joe
funny
Judge.
How that sparked so many writers, you know, beat writers were started digging in on that. They're like, hold on, this is totally false. Like,
completely like, invented.
Everything he said was like just made up.
So the New York Giants want to call everybody that I talk to liars. Okay, your head coach is lying to the world.
My favorite
face of your team.
How many players are calling him twice a week? first of all,
twice a week, yeah.
You've talked to more players. Probably, I mean, I know players, you know players. These guys aren't calling head coaches no. saying, I wish I was there. No. That doesn't happen.
Golf clubs aren't in for the lockers.
No. That was some really strange. It got strange. Still is, because he's still there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't want to go down this road.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. I'm just saying. This is what.
How do we get here, Jim?
You're just destroying. You're taking down teams. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe that's how it's perceived.
No, no. Judge and Gettleman are taking down that team, and that's why you wrote the story.
Well, it's. I don't know. Like I think that there's voices to be heard, and they're literally just witnesses to the car wreck, and they're just breaking down what they see. And I think that these Giant fans that are pouring their hard-earned money into the product,
and they want
answers. You know, they're living paycheck to paycheck and they're buying season
tickets.
They
want answers.
They deserve answers, right?
I would like to know.
They deserve it.
I would love to hear from, like, not hear from, but, like, I guess the question would be if I was offered the GM job for the Giants, you know, do you keep Daniel Jones? You know, what? No, I don't. But I would like to hear would Giants fans be upset at that? I feel like he's had enough chances. I really do. I feel like Judge has had enough chances.
Hey, we poked a lot of fun at Howie Roseman, justifiably so. They moved on from Carson Wentz pretty quick, and Jalen Hurts looks pretty good right now.
They've catered to Hurts.
They've catered to Hurts. I'm just saying the concept of coaching. Moving on. You've got to be willing.
No question. And that would be my thing is, look, let's just move on. Don't overthink it. Yeah, if Daniel Jones goes somewhere else and makes it, hey, great job. But it hasn't worked here. It's not going to work here.
And that therein lies the problem with the New York Giants. This is an organization.
Who's the voice? Who's saying enough?
When they hired Dave Gettleman as GM, it's pretty much understood if you want this job. Probably got to be on board with Eli Manning being the quarterback. Same with Pat Shurmur when he becomes head coach. Is that going to be the case in 2021 with Daniel Jones? All right, you want this job? You better be on board. Like, if you're going to fix the shit, you need to be open to somebody with no ties to the organization coming in, assessing the organization and doing something. And maybe when they assess it, they come to the conclusion of, you know what, Daniel Jones, there's something here to work with.
Let's not give up.
Let's not give up on him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that
that's fair.
But trust that person. Trust that Elliot Wolf. Trust that Glenn Cook. Dan Morgan, somebody who's here. But, there's so many candidates. Jim Monas.
I would say find a guy.
Do you want to take over the Giants?
Wait, is Elliot Wolf with the Patriots right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then he would have a chance because Joe, I don't know what his relationship is with Judge, but if Judge stays – I would think
that's
the personnel
part of the
guy.
Problem, though, with the Judge.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be a Patriot.
Then it's like, are you working for Judge? Are you able to independently make your own decisions?
How many times? We've talked about it every time on this pod. Owner, pick one. Who's in charge? Head coach or GM? Just pick one, and that guy picks the other guy. If it's GM, he picks a coach. If it's a coach, he picks the GM. You got to define who has the power.
It's incredible how billionaires who are so successful in their industries and businesses and, you know, they build empires can just royally screw up NFL franchises.
That's the simple part of the structure. The simple part of the structure is define who has control, let him pick the next guy, then get your quarterback and go live your life. That's what you do as an owner.
I know it. Like we've talked about it.
Hey, Sean, you want Bean? Great. Thank you. We got Josh Allen. Thank you. If I was Terry and Kim, you wouldn't catch me ever in this fucking weather, in this weather in Buffalo. I'd be down in Florida nonstop. We have our GM, coach, and quarterback. Good luck, guys.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see you in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I'm out. If I was an owner,
go down
I'm out.
On the yacht.
You did it. You structured. It's done.
Well, they got the Sabres too. They got to figure out.
That's on them.
Which I think there's some good signs there.
I don't know anything about hockey, but
it may or may not be a little biased.
You know? No, and you have but I'm just saying
that's my brother.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's they got that worried, so I get it. But I'm saying if you're only worried about your NFL team, it's that simple. You stop it's really is that simple. You know? But anyway.
Yeah, no, it really is.
But the Giants can't right.
It's remarkable.
Why can't the Giants just those owners? They've been there forever. But we all know the Yeah, who the main one of the owners is one of the problems.
And I don't think I think what complicates it, even some of these people that have been fired, they like John Mara. They like Chris Mara. They like the family.
They treated the scouts and people well. It's a first class, it's well run organization.
But when Gettleman came in, he kind of took a hacksaw to everything.
Oh, I asked the Carolina Panthers players how they think about Gettleman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we saw those reactions.
Oh, well, I should say.
What's his name? Want to go after him?
Josh Norman?
Yeah.
May or may not have been texting with him recently about this all, and he has some choice things to say.
Sean Payton.
Hey, Josh Norman. I know he's, coverage. He's forcing a lot of fumbles.
Josh Norman.
He's still making plays.
He's a veteran NBA player, like Vince Carter, who can't dunk anymore but can hit those fadeaway shots still.
Yeah.
Like, he found a way to hit those. Like, Vince Carter was never known for three-pointers, and by the end of his career, he was stroking threes.
Kind of redefined himself.
Couldn't dunk anymore. Josh can't cover anymore, but he can cause fumbles.
I mean, if you force a fumble every other game, you should be in the league.
Josh, so tough. Yeah, so tough.
All right.
Anyway, so
we were talking about – okay, so this conversation with
– we're all over. Kurt Warner, yes. No, you said, yeah. Basically, can you win in the playoffs?
Playing the way Josh – now, it's not like Josh Allen is, a run-around, chicken with his head cut off kind of player. He's obviously accurate. He obviously can throw. But his strength is playmaking.
So then
– can you win that way? Three, four times.
I like the word you said, playmaker, because this is where it goes. Is pocket passer a thing of the past? Like, is Aaron Rodgers necessarily all pocket passing? I mean, he kind of has been with the injury a little bit to the toe, but he's known for.
He'll let you know about that toe injury too.
I still can't get over watching him every game with the throws he makes. But anyway, I'll say this: any answer about can you win with Josh Allen? With his style, my answer is hell yes. That guy, to me, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Mahomes, it's Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow's next. That's my four right now, after watching everything this year. And I feel very strongly about those four, where they have done it through toughness, through – who would you say – do you think Cincinnati has a great offensive line? No. And Burrow's sitting there just throwing the ball down. He finds ways to get the ball down the field with no protection. He's getting hit nonstop. They're 26th, I believe, going into last week. They were 26th in sack percentage. They can't protect him.
The hits he takes, I'm just like kind of – and he with the stuff I do on Sunday now, like I lean into the Red Zone channel pretty heavily.
Yeah. How are you feeling about that?
Well, it's – I came around to it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's the best.
Because you get done at 4:30, you're like, oh, I know everything that happened.
I feel like it was the first time I tried coffee as like a sophomore in high school. It's like an acquired taste.
It's a good one.
And then once you're on it,
you're addicted. Without cream and sugar.
You're addicted. Oh, well.
A little cream and sugar?
No, it's straight black for the most
straight.
Part. Yeah, straight red.
Only way to do it.
But like just following Joe Burrow and through that lens, I haven't even – it's not like I've seen every snap of this guy. The hits he takes are insane.
Amazing.
That Green Bay game, I thought they were going to have to scoop his carcass off the field with a shovel after that hit he took. And he takes massive hits. He hurt his pinky and on his throwing hand in the Chargers game later in the year. He hurt his knee against the Chiefs. He has his nameplate ripped off against the Chiefs. And he just gets up. Again and again, and just keeps making big time throws. And I'd even put him higher. I mean, if I were to do a list,
yeah, okay,
he might be one or two right now. How quarterbacks are playing in this moment, he may be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Those four guys I just mentioned, all four of them have that same characteristic. You can't get them off the field. You can't get Rodgers off, Mahomes off, Josh. Josh is playing hurt.
Yeah,
Aaron plays hurt. Burrow plays hurt. Mahomes will play hurt. Yeah, he's tough as hell. Yeah. I saw him get destroyed against the Saints before last year, and it didn't – I mean, he just bounces back. You can't phase it, those guys. They are that tough. So I guess my point of the
Sean Manning, probably put Manning up there.
Man, go back. That's our David Lee story way back when Manning was coming out of college. David Lee was our quarterback coach in Buffalo. wanted to work him out, and he wanted to specifically dunk a ball, a football, in a bucket of water to see if Manny could throw a wet football. Mm. He wanted to go personally work him out to do that. And Whaley and I were like, no, we're good. We're okay on Manny. I think if he could throw a wet ball, it's not going to sway our opinion on him. We think he's kind of average as it is. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And that's on the company dime too.
Oh yeah. He was very concerned about if he could throw a wet football.
See, he wasn't able to do that.
Well, it makes me think of Mike Zimmer's response this week to
Kellen Mond.
Oh, that was just I'm not a huge Zimmer guy, but that was
oh my god.
That could be one of the
because
greatest.
They see him every day. That's why he's not playing.
If I wanted, he'd be playing this week if he was good enough. Basically, like, I'm not playing the guy that's not better. Mannion's better than Mond.
Yeah.
Who? We should have Sims on. Sims had Mond rated really high coming out of college. Did. And I thought Mond was average as could be. Man. Anyway, that's
yeah. It's no. All right. So back to the quarterbacks.
I know you got Man. See, you we're can't bring up Man. You got
we
me.
Get these Louis going. I throw a Manion at you. Next
a
Manion. You know,
I wasn't expecting that. It made me think of David Lee dunking a football in a bucket of water. These guys, everybody's getting millions of dollars to dunk a football in water to make a decision on if we should draft him or not. I'm so glad I'm in the XFL.
The NFL does have a lot of dunces in there, you know?
And
a lot
you
of
know
dunces
what?
In the NFL.
It's incredible. It's it
I
really
think
is.
Fans would be shocked to see how many general buffoons there are running this league.
That's why this whole thing started, because we passed on Patrick Mahomes. Like, we're buffoons. I mean, that was a no-brainer. You know, you look back on it, it's a no-brainer. So I'm okay. I'll call myself out, but I'll call other people out too.
Yeah, you call yourself out, but
should we get – speaking of the XFL, should we reach out to Antonio Brown as our first big
– You know what?
I brought it up today. Dude.
I like it.
The people that be.
Should the XFL, under the guidance of Doug Whaley, Mark Ross,
Doug Whaley,
Jim
Morris,
Russ Brandon, bring in Antonio Brown as the face of the league?
He doesn't have to be the – I know. I was like, maybe not the
well,
face.
He would be, though. I mean, if you
think T.O. would come out on retirement?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
This could be the new XFL. T.O.
T.O. A.B.
Maybe E.J. Manuel, quarterback.
E.J. throw. I'd watch. I would watch. Everybody would watch that.
That's the answer I actually needed to hear.
Yes. Yes. Please do this right now. It would be entertaining as hell.
What's funny is, would you take E.J. for an NFL game this week? Could you live with E.J., Antonio Brown, and T.O.? Better than who's trotting out Fromm?
Yeah, Fromm.
So I would take EJ over Fromm.
Yes.
Right? Or Glennon.
Kenny Galladay, who's $72 million.
I don't know
man.
Who they have playing right now.
He might be hurt.
Antonio Brown and T.O. have to be both better than anybody the Giants are putting out there on injuries, maybe. I don't know if Sterling Shepard is out. They've had so many injuries, and we might stumble on something. Anyway,
I like it. Well,
anyway.
It all, if when it happens, everybody listening can be like, you know what? I knew that was happening because I listened to the Go Long podcast. This is where the idea was hatched.
But
get Russ to listen.
Well, he will.
Okay.
I'll tell him at 3:30 today on a call. But talking about people that run these leagues and coaches and GMs and the Bruce Arians, Antonio Brown thing it's awful.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know what to believe, but I don't hear a lot of people defending the coach or the player from that team. I saw a lot of guys trying to calm AB down, like Mike, you know, his teammates were trying to keep him in check. They knew he was about to lose it. Come on, man, hold it together. No, but I don't like how it went down. Like, cause these guys do.
Nobody looks good.
So I was thinking about it. So he's saying he took a shot, right? Antonio Brown took a shot from the trainer.
Tore it all?
Yeah.
Probably.
Which another – here's a – that destroyed Tyrod Taylor out with the Chargers. Remember?
Oh, they stabbed him in the lung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the length these players go to just try to play.
It's just hard. I think it's hard for people to get on board with anything that Antonio Brown says because he's a serial freak show. Like everywhere he goes, he is insane.
So it's
and
like
insane things happen. So how can anybody believe?
So we're automatically going to just write.
And I normally, you know, I get
I'm the same way. I don't know if I believe any of it. I don't know what to believe. I don't.
It is very believable. Like, all right, you know, he's hurt. He's going to go back in. Maybe there's some incentive stuff at play. All that. Like, that incentive stuff is real.
The incentive stuff is real.
As you know.
And the other thing that is real is if he was injured and trying to fight through that, that would have been communicated to the head coach. Mm-hmm. That is a definite. There is, when it comes to injuries, there is constant communication between player, trainer, head coach. Constant. There's no gray area. There's no, I didn't know he was. We know everything about these guys.
And Bruce Arians was pretty forceful on that, right? Like that he...
Arians didn't come across great to me in the way he's handled this either. And the whole thing I just don't like.
Well, you know what? Obviously.
But we're pro. I'm always pro player.
I'm pro player, but Antonio Brown is like a creature unto himself. Like this is.
He has a history.
To put it mildly.
So he is.
But I'm not defending Tampa Bay. I mean, you know.
No, I'm not either.
You knew what you were getting into.
I was going to say, right.
When you signed this guy, when shit hit the fan with the Raiders, like. You knew what you were getting into. It's on the Bucs and it's on Tom Brady because we can all assume Tom Brady's pushing like hell for Antonio Brown to be a Buc.
Well,
this was inevitable. I don't think it was a matter of if, it was a matter of
when.
When is he going to rip off his pads and his shirt and pump up the crowd? And by the way, the night before he's hooking up with the OnlyFans model and lick the toilet seat to get. I mean, it's just. It's insane.
But they go way back, it sounds like. They go back to 18, right? I thought it said they sparked up in 2018. Well, but
yeah,
whatever.
They're just making a sex video. Very normal. Very normal, Jim.
Well, the crazy part about that part of the story is I've been in these hotels nights before games. Nobody's getting on the players' floor. There's security on every single level right off that elevator.
Is that right?
Unless you're slipping that security guy a little money.
So Antonio Brown slipped the security.
I'm just
guy.
Saying there's more to that story. Like if she was in the team hotel with him,
she got
somebody
up somehow.
She got up. She didn't do it and just everybody said, oh, nice to see you. It was somebody got a nice Christmas gift on that.
Maybe the Christmas gift took another form.
The security security guard, he knows what he's doing, whatever.
Security guard is a happy guy right now, one way or the other.
He got a nice payday. Somebody got a nice payday from Antonio Brown on that one.
I'm glad it happened in week 18 of an NFL season because otherwise we're talking about
I don't know whether
a team should rest their starters because this
my favorite story this week though is that the Chargers and Raiders could tie and both make the playoffs if somebody loses, right? Colts?
Yes, if the Jaguars beat
the
Colts.
If the Jags beat the Colts, then they both get
then
in.
They can
Yeah. And they could both take knees.
So the league office wouldn't let that happen.
No.
Right? He'd have to play a football.
They would take. No, they wouldn't do it.
But it would. I mean, it benefits
now,
everybody.
The funny part is
for them to do
it
that.
Could make sense.
Yeah, they should. They should.
I mean, if you're the coaches, you hit each other up and be like, Colts, hey, if the Colts lose, man, are you cool with. Yeah.
I'm the cool Colts with it. Haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. So I know that Jacksonville's bad. They haven't won in Jacksonville since. It could happen.
The could NFL, happen. You can't ever. Assume anything in the NFL.
No.
That Jaguar team is my goodness.
So
my
Tony,
goodness. So anyway, yeah.
You want Antonio Brown to be in the XFL?
It's something that crossed my mind today.
Who would be the player that you absolutely covet?
That's the issue. That's the issue with all these leagues whenever they start up. Is there ever a guy that really is a player gonna make these leagues? Or is it the product and the coaches?
Yeah.
You know, to me, I think it's more about the coaches. Get some really, like, coaches you want to see mic'd up and behind the scenes with. That's where I think these leagues have a chance to make. That's how I want the XFL to be.
You're probably getting inundated with ideas from people, aren't you?
We're ready to be. I told you we're going to be aggressive and all open. We want all access. We want fans to see daily meetings. Practice. Oh yeah, coaches have to be. We want coaches who are ready to be on mic all the time, like a real hard knocks, but not the fake. not the fake Hard Knocks,
right?
Like
the real sanitized.
No, like the real stuff. Like
that's amazing.
That's the only way. Like that's to me how these leagues make it. I don't think there's one player that's going to make the XFL.
It's the you're right. I think there's absolutely a lane for exclusivity and access, and here is the real sport of football. And people love real football. They want the violence. They want the hitting. They want the blood, the sweat, the guts. They want it all.
How much would you love to watch a Friday meeting with the coordinator and the quarterback, a rundown of the first 15 plays? How much would you like to see how that goes down, how they set up the first 15 plays? And, hey, do you like this play? What don't you like about it? Do you like this one if we go on this? Hey, it's second and seven. I'm looking at this. Do you like that? It's really cool, but people don't get to see it. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. I think that'd be fun to see other than just the – we've seen all the other stuff. Let's see some of the game planning.
Well, you don't want the three keys to the game, Jim? Limit turnovers.
I was just – you got me on the no turnovers. I was thinking pressure.
Pressure
quarterback is a good one.
And I would say
– so it's
– establish the run.
Establish run.
Establish the run.
Establish the run.
See, end it there.
Done.
That's it. That's all I want on the XFL.
And that's every college bowl game when you see keys to victory today. Establish run, turnovers. Playoff football. Establish run.
In all seriousness, though, yeah. I mean, you're onto something right now.
But we got to be different. We XFL, I'm saying we got to be different to make this thing fun to watch. Like
– So you're not. It's not like you guys are in cahoots with the NFL.
We're not going to be in cahoots with the NFL.
Which is good. Keep that independence.
Yeah, it will be. But we would like to incorporate, if we can, with the NFL some, if they want us to try to use new technology or try different rules or.
Well, if the NFL was smart, they would look at you guys not as a threat, but as a. There's a lot of great football players that don't have a place to play.
I brought up first to second quarter, any touchdown you score, you have to go for two.
I like it.
Well, because it changed the whole game, mm-hmm. right, for both everybody. But, you know, the counter to that is we might just use what the XFL had 2 years ago where you can either go for one from the three-yard line, 2 points from, like, the five, or 3 points from the 10, which is fine, too. No kicking. Extra points, but anyway, it's stuff like that we have to keep.
Eliminate all the kickers, get rid of them, send them to Siberia.
I think we're all kind of on board for that, right? At least see how it goes. The Bills have done it. They don't punt.
You're right.
They didn't punt in two games.
I will say though, I think that the NFL treats itself so much as the USSR. They treat information of. Anything that happens behind the scenes, anything with X's and O's, by and large, there's exceptions. Like it's the nuclear codes. So fans want the nuclear codes. They want to know what's really happening behind the scenes. They deserve to know what's happening behind the scenes. If you give them that somehow with this product, coverage-wise, anything, as you're saying –
No, I don't know.
I think there could be an audience for that, a huge audience for that.
I don't know. We have to at least try to be different. But like we talked about, this whole thing started by, I don't think one player will make the XFL. I think it's more coaches and product. We'll do a good job. We're going to figure it out. But
I know. I don't want to get you into trouble.
No, there's no trouble yet. We really don't have a lot yet.
I just think that there's an opportunity.
Like we are ground. When I tell you we're at ground level, we're at ground level. I mean, we are.
You think about like any other business, even basketball, you can go to college for a year and go pro. You can get really good football players, really young, that want to support their families with their skill and that don't have the ability to do that. They've got to wait a year, 2, 3 years before they can do it.
Would you tune in to see a 5-star receiver that didn't go to college, that's getting his education in the XFL and making money for his family? Does that bother you? Like, say there's a great receiver. Let's just go with Louisiana because LSU puts out how many receivers every year. Say there's a 5-star receiver out at LSU, but he's like, you know what? If I need the money. I can get credit. I can get some education in the XFL. I can earn credits, make money, and play football. You couldn't get mad at the guy.
No, people would get that. And I think,
I don't know if we're, I, like I said, I'd love to be aggressive. And that's and try,
back but, to your point though, and having good coaches and, well, and a good, you want them to have that, would that be coaching the key. Still.
Guys that can
develop those develop skills. Them, right. Yeah.
Like an Urban Meyer, a great developer of once in a life generational right. talent like Trevor Lawrence. Like,
you know what? You hire Urban Meyer and then you bring in his floozy as a
the best thing about assistant Urban, coach. Yeah, we're all over the place. The best thing about Urban Meyer is he had Cam Newton sitting on the bench and the whole Florida team's looking at him like, You're gonna keep Tebow in over this guy? Like, can you just make the switch? No, I'm gonna keep Tebow in. What's Cam do? I'm gonna leave. Okay, I see it. Go to a junior college.
I mean, I think he made the right choice. I think you go Tebow 10 out of 10 times.
Like Urban Meyer had.
It's about culture,
kept,
Jim.
You Urban Meyer kept Cam clubs. Newton on the bench and couldn't develop Trevor Lawrence. Like, could we make an argument he's the worst quarterback coach? Like, we have Adam Gase, we have Matt Nagy in the running, right?
Yeah.
Of guys that have just destroyed quarterbacks.
I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know if Gase has destroyed quarterbacks. He somehow got. I like Adam. I like Adam Gase. But he somehow – he got killed for Sam Darnold, who has proven that he can't do it. He got killed for Tannehill, which was a little harsh because he was on and off with injuries, Tannehill in Miami. And I can't sit there and say Tannehill's a superstar. When I rank him, he's in that 15 to 20 range of quarterbacks. I mean,
they're the number one seed because of – players like Jeffrey Simmons
and Vrabel, and Vrabel has done a great job. And I it's not all Tannehill,
right?
And then so has Gase done really? Has he been that bad of a quarterback coach, or has he coached bad quarterbacks? Right. Anyway, we're everywhere right now. But.
Well, I think you got to bring in Tebow. You bring in EJ Manuel. You bring in T.O.
So wait, is that what we're gonna do? Is that what this XFL is gonna be? Yeah. Not the youth movement. We're gonna go with.
I like it. Like
guys who want one more chance. Oh, then we gotta get Peterman.
Yeah. Well, Peterman, he was. I mean, he wasn't just the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback once. He was the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback.
I don't know. Did I tell this story about what Kim Pegula said to me in the cafeteria after we drafted Peterman that night? I never told this.
You did not.
We were excited about that draft. Was stressful, right? We all know that the Pegulas wanted Patrick Mahomes, and we all okay. We take Peterman in the fifth round, thinking he could develop into a backup, blah, blah, blah. Nobody thought he was going to be the starter. And we're in the cafeteria because we had a long break between picks, and that's when you go in there, get something to eat, whatever. And Kim looked at me, and she was like, we were just sitting there. And I was like, she's like, how do you think it's going? I'm like, you know, I think pretty good. You know, I think we made the most of this trade and like these guys we got. And she just looked at me. She's like, we should have taken Mahomes. And I go to her, I look at her and I said, Kim, we got Peterman. I was like, we made up for it in the fifth round. And I was kind of trying to take a little tension off really? The conversation, but she didn't really, she was kind of smiling.
We're good.
She wasn't laughing Peterman. That hard about it. And I was thinking, man, did.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can remember exactly where we were in the cafeteria talking about it. Yeah. Anyway, it's just amazing. We're all over.
It's amazing because
Peterman, that's a name I don't like bringing up.
But I'm thinking of 2014. I mean, so I'm trying to think of a comparison, right? So Jerry Jones is obsessed with Johnny Manziel. He was like beside himself, depressed when they didn't get Manziel. I mean, he looked to his son, Stephen Jones, afterwards and basically said, like, you know, he was depressed. He couldn't. He was pissed that he didn't step in and say, "We need John." They took Zach Martin, and that's a huge reason why they ended up winning the next.
I can tell you who was more depressed.
Manziel would have set that team back.
Yeah, well, I can tell you who was more depressed about Manziel was Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, when they drafted him, and we practiced against them that year in Rochester, in training camp. And Pettine was, you know, because we had a little relationship with Pettine from the Bills, you know, that year he was with us with the Bills. And I looked at him, he was like, He didn't really want to say it, but he's like,
Stuck with this guy. but
good football.
It could go that direction, you know. Damn, here, here's a case where the owners loved a quarterback, and they weren't just right; they were right on somebody who could realistically go down as one of, if not the best player of all time when it's all said and done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's hey, I could like I said, we can talk about
Through the Peterman pick. That's a hilarious story. I love that.
I said, hey, we got Peterman. It's like, damn, I didn't even. I thought maybe I'd get a little laugh. It was like.
Well, you know, let's let it play out, Jim. Let's let it play out. You know, let's not rush to conclusions.
Well, we saw it. Yeah, we knew we had Tyler. I was like, I thought maybe a little laugh. But, all right, it's good.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? That's probably good for this week, eh?
Yeah, we hit. We really, it was good range.
Ran the full gamut.
Antonio Brown of the XFL, Peterman. Yeah,
I think so. I think that people got their they got their listens worth here.
We still have. There's more to come. More to come. Definitely. We got the playoffs. We got to save some good stuff for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think next week let's break down these wild card games. And
you know what's going to be fun too about next week when we talk too is what coaches survive.
Yeah.
Is David Culley going to survive? Who That's a big I one. Thought That's sure. A big one. I thought for sure he was a one and done. We'll wait and see.
They definitely played.
They are playing.
Than people expect
it. They are playing, and it says something to his credit. It really does. And they probably – it goes to show you what we've all said about David Culley is he's such a great man.
Yeah.
And the players probably love that about him.
Right,
and
right.
want to give them – they're giving him their everything they got.
Totally, totally.
So, honestly, he almost – to me, he's earned another year, I think. I don't know if I would have said that before the season if I thought he could get through this year, but
– there's just no talent. I mean, they stripped the roster
they don't
down.
Have anything.
The Lions, they stripped their roster down. Like, and to me, I just keep coming back to the Giants. Look at these other teams that are fighting. I mean, the Texans beat the Titans, and they could beat them again this week. Who knows? Look at the Jets. Look at the Jets. Look at their wins. The Jets beat the Titans, and the Jets beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
And they took the Tampa Bay to the brink this week. So don't give me this crap about injury. I don't want to hear – if I hear any coach bemoan injuries or this, get out of here. Every team's dealing with it.
Injuries, COVID, that's the number one thing. I don't ever want to hear about injuries or youth or young. I hate those.
The Saints are alive for the playoffs with everything they've been through.
Insane. Not to me. I'm not shocked.
You know, Peyton.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
That defense is legit. I mean, they show up, but – anyway,
Bills caught them at a good time, though.
That was about as bad as the Saints team as you could ever put out.
Yeah, they caught them at a good time. Do you want to throw out a Super Bowl pick for the hell of it, real quick?
Yeah, I'll just go Bills Packers. What I did in our article, I'll stick with it.
I like it.
How about you?
It's hard to argue with that.
Go ahead. No, it's. I mean, that's what I picked. I'll stick with it.
I'll go Chiefs Packers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because in the NFC, I mean, the AFC, you can go three, four different directions and make a good case. But the NFC, I mean, Arizona just got a big win, but Hopkins, no Hopkins. I don't know. I can't get there yet with Arizona.
There's
Dallas. I will never get there with Mike McCarthy.
We have a lot to dive into these next couple weeks with how the Rams season, how this plays out with Stafford.
Yeah.
The coaching hirings and firings. This is going to be a really fun time of year. Murray, Stafford, these quarterbacks, are they going to take the teams to the next level like they're supposed to? It's going to be good.
It's so set up for Aaron Rodgers to get back to the Super Bowl. If he can't get there,
Tyler,
again,
well said.
Like, I've said, Tampa Bay's a dysfunctional mess right now out of nowhere.
And injured. I've said all, you know, I've been talking about Green Bay all year. Yes, you're right about
two
that.
Wins.
I never really said it like
two
this.
Wins at home. That's all they need.
But I never really thought about it like that, where it is set up for them to get to the Super Bowl. Like, they really should do it. Like,
they've owned the Rams and Stafford. They've owned Stafford for over a decade.
I don't wonder what's going to happen in the Aaron Rodgers NFC Championship. You're going to be. I can't wait. Anyway, we got a good couple
Caleb
weeks coming
Haney
up.
Will come on out to be a relief pitcher of sorts in that game. Closing out. All right. Well, that's good.
That was good. We got some good stuff coming.
GoLongTD.com, Apple, Spotify. Rate us, review us, let us know what you think about the podcast. We appreciate everybody listening, watching.
I have a feeling the only clip I'm going to see is we took Peterman. And I'm okay with it. Anyway, no, thanks for listening.
We should just extract those 5 seconds and throw it out there on
Don't
Twitter,
let Kim. Right? Kim will be like, yeah, I do remember that. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.